Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, January 16th, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, and I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
I don't want to talk to these cocksuckers, but you have to.
Well, not only do I have to, but I want to, because it's the first podcast interview of the new year, and I have a twofer in store for y'all. How fun is that? We break open the 2012 edition of both the Erotic Mind and the Sex Edge-ucation series with one fell swoop as I welcome photographer Michael Henry to the show. He is an upcoming talent who is also kinky as all get out. So I thought, who better to inaugurate the new year than this fine fellow?
In life, you have to do a lot of things you don't fucking want to do.
I keep telling you, I really like doing this. I also have a bit of a hidden agenda. You see, I often hear from avid listeners to my show. They tell me they love the interviews, but they claim that some of the artists I feature are very intimidating. These listeners, some who are aspiring artists of one stripe or another themselves, feel as though they could never achieve what some of my guests have achieved, and so they are disheartened. This bums me out, because I want this series to inspire creativity in my audience, not stifle it. So Michael is here to reassure us that even relative newcomers have something wonderful to contribute to the art form.
Many times, that's what the fuck life is, one vile fucking task after another.
You're not going to stop, huh? Michael has also compiled a marvelous gallery of some of his work for you to enjoy. It accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. For more of Michael and his amazing work, be sure to visit him on his site, sinisterbrain.com. You can also find him on Facebook, on FetLife, and you can follow him on Twitter, too. I'll post all these links in today's podcast posting. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab in the header. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that?
But don't get aggravated. Then the enemy has you by the short hair.
Alrighty then. Okay, on with the show. Welcome to Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, Michael, and thank you for joining us. I'm so happy that we could make this time to be together. You have such a big, fat, uncut talent that you are here as both the Erotic Mind series and the Sex Education series. I love a twofer.
Hi, Dick. How's it going?
I'm good. So, alrighty then. Now that you're here, and I know our audience is dying to meet you, would you like to say hello to all the really nice people?
Hello, people!
And you probably should say hello to the nice, albeit kinky people too, right?
Hello, kinky people!
Yay!
Kneel before Zod!
Good, getting into character. I like that. So, as you know, I discovered you when one of our mutual friends retweeted one of your tweets. And from there, I found your website, sinisterbrain.com. It is so marvelously unique, and it supplies us with a delightful array of fascinating images. I love the fact that you have several galleries of non-erotic stuff right along with the erotic stuff. I like that because I get to see the full spectrum of you as an artist. Is that intentional?
Yeah, it's I guess one of those things that I do photography because I like photography, and the distinction between erotic or other things I love are all the it's basically all the same to me.
I see. That well, that's a good thing. The interesting thing is that a lot of erotic photographers, even some who have been guests on this show, have separate sites for their erotic work. You don't. Why is that?
Because it's part of who I am. I mean, I love food. I love people. I love long exposure photography. Uh-huh. Well, I also love naked people.
You don't say.
Yeah.
I love it. So how did you come up with the Sinister Brain moniker?
Oh, boy. There's two separate stories.
Oh, good.
The first one is very short. Is that Sinister's Latin word for left.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't like the Latin word for brain, which I'm forgetting what it is at the moment. But it basically means left brain, analytical, blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Interesting.
But no, the other story is the fact that I Googled it just for the fun of it, and at the time came up with no hits, and I said, hey, you know, my primary name, Michael Henry, is so common that you cannot find me if you look for me.
Richard Wagner if you think...
Exactly. And so, I mean, you could look up Michael Henry photography, for example, and you'll find about five other people.
Is
none
that
of them are
right?
Me. So I decided to just stick with that moniker, and yeah, there's one other guy using it now, but, you know, he doesn't do photography.
And we'll have the hit squad take him out, so... It's the Dr. Dick hit squad, mind you. We don't want anyone fooling around with my guests at all. There you have it. So, like I said just a bit ago, I feel as though I have a greater insight into your erotic photography after spending time on, let's say, your dining out gallery. Do you think that's crazy? If you do, don't tell me.
Sorry, I had to think about that answer, and I guess it's... I guess one of the things I'm very passionate about is food, and food in any form, whether it's eating it, buying it, and one of the things I love is well-presented food, and it's really nice to have something that you sit there and love and being well-presented there, and it's like having the perfect model, and so I love taking pictures of it, right. And sadly, I haven't been able to mix that with erotic photography yet, but I'm working on it.
Well, you know, there, I was thinking as I was spending time on that gallery that some of the images of the food as you shoot it, it's prepared food, so it's like dining out, and just like the gallery says, of course. It's quite erotic. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, it is. And it's one of those things that it's, you know, it's sensual. It's something that, you know, you eat a meal that you love, and sometimes you even get a little bit high off of it, and
right.
You get, you know, the neurochemical rush,
right.
Just like you do from having a hot sex with somebody you love. Maybe
right.
Not in the same respect, but yeah, it's very similar.
I like that. I like that a lot. So, you know, when I pitched you to join me for this chat, you said that you were surprised that I had reached out to you, and you said that you weren't well known, and that you suggested that I might do better by contacting better known photographers instead. And that was really sweet of you. But now I get to reveal my ulterior motive. You see, I often hear from avid listeners to this series who tell me that they love the shows, but that some of my artists that are guests on my shows are very intimidating. And these listeners, some who are aspiring artists themselves, of one stripe or another, feel as though that they could never achieve what some of my guests have achieved, and so they are disheartened. And this bums me out because I want this series to inspire the creativity of my audience, not stifle it. And since you unabashedly state in your bio, boldly striving toward mediocrity, beginner, newbie, enthusiast, learned on digital, learning on film, I thought you might have some words of encouragement for others starting out or struggling to express themselves. Do you?
Yeah, I think, I guess the best way to put it is that if you're passionate about something, just do it and start small.
Uh-huh.
I guess the best way to put it is that you know, if you have big dreams and big visions, you're not going to achieve this overnight, no matter which way you do it.
Right.
And you're not going to be as good as, you know, your favorite stars or your biggest influences.
Right.
And so the best thing to do is to start learning, seeing what you like about their work and seeing if you can recreate those aspects.
Yeah. So is there something about the journey, the striving for, that is also, you know, part of the creative process. Would you not agree?
Oh yeah. When you start on something, sometimes you have a certain destination in mind and you end up going somewhere completely different.
Right.
That's so true. It's worth it. It's so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with you. So when did you hit upon photography as your medium of artistic expression?
Well, it all started one day when I was unemployed.
the crucible of it all.
I had this point-and-shoot camera I owned for maybe 6 months, and I took about 5 or 6 pictures with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured, hey, why don't I go out and do this photography thing? I got all this free time. I applied every job out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up the camera and went out and took a picture of something. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It looked horrible.
Did it really?
Yeah, it was a really bad picture. So I took a few more, and they were bad.
Hmm.
And then one day I took one that was good, and sitting there going, okay, what's the difference here? Why is this one good and this one isn't?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me started down this path, is not just taking pictures for the sake of taking pictures, but trying to figure out what makes one picture better than another picture.
Yeah.
And then how did this photographer do this? And it's been an addiction ever since.
Did you study it? I mean, did you... you said, if I remember correctly, that this is only a couple years old, this passion of yours.
I pretty much, outside of owning a point-and-shoot camera or cell phones, I've never really took pictures about 2 years ago. Yeah,
wow.
Actually, 3 years ago since I picked up a point-and-shoot.
Right.
But
then, how did you come about this ability to discern what is good and what was not in what you shot? I mean, everything that I shoot, of course, is marvelous, and even if you can't make out what's in the picture, because I don't know squat about it.
The one interesting thing about the way we look at photography is we all have our different perspectives of what's good and what's bad.
Uh-huh.
But over millennia, we've had designers and artists and stuff like that evolving what we would culturally expect to be things that look good, and they've evolved certain techniques about just based around the way we look at things. Based upon our psychology and how we process information, how our eyes scan. And I've just been slowly reading about different things over time about how we've evolved to that, and that's what I've been applying. Well, it's everything from psychology to design.
Ah,
and just trying to understand how we process visual information.
Wow.
And trying to apply that to photography. And granted, I still have a long way to go, but it's been pretty fun.
Yeah. Goodness. So a lot of the stuff that you shoot is kind of kinky stuff, and which I'm really delighted to see. And you are not simply a casual bystander capturing the BDSM and rope play that you see around you. You are a practitioner and rigger yourself, are you not?
Yeah, I am. I've been kinky for a very long time.
Really?
I've been kinky since, I became aware of it when I was in my teens, but I didn't actually start playing until I was in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I had to give it up for about 8 years due to a vanilla monogamous relationship, but I'm back.
With a vengeance, mind you.
Oh, yes. It's the best thing that ever happened to me is remembering saying, oh, I like this stuff.
Uh-huh. How did you discover it early in life? I mean, was visual stimulation, or, you know?
I'd say it was a variety of things, but I'd say that seeing, as funny as it sounds, Damsels in Distress on TV were things that started eroticizing it for me.
Uh-huh. You are a pervert. I love that.
It's bad, but I love it.
I mean, I know lots and lots of people, even people who have been part of these series, you know, who say, you know, they came out of the womb like this. And, you know, they were tying up their action figures and their dolls and stuff like that, and abusing abusing their playmates and stuff like that when they were kids.
I will plead the Fifth Amendment on that.
All right.
I did not tie up one of my action figures, just maybe several of them.
All right. I love it. So do you rig any or all of the scenes that you shoot?
I'd say at this point it's about 50%.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I love working with other tops. It frees me up to take more photography. And right. The best part is that if you get two people that are really hot for each other in a room together, eventually the photographer disappears, and you see some really amazing stuff.
Wow, that is so amazing. So this is precisely where I want to go next, because as far as I can tell, there are two very distinct art forms involved in this, the shibari rope thing and the photography. And to my mind, they are alike and they are also different. So let's talk about that some. Obviously, the two art forms involve different skill sets, but is a visual aspect to both of the art forms that is remarkably similar, at least to my mind. So both art forms necessitate an eye for beauty and creative expression. Is that what's going on in your head as well?
When it comes to rope, when I'm actually rigging the rope, I actually feel like I'm kind of sloppy about it. My concept of bondage is more about the sensation and the feel.
Oh,
and so
interesting.
Whenever I'm applying it in ways that I could empathize with, and saying, "Wow, you know, this would feel great to be restrained in this way and to be exposed in this way."
Mm-hmm.
And as you'll find on my profile, I'm a switch, and so I like the top and bottom to bondage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the visual aspects of bondage for me are more incidental rather than functional.
Interesting.
Actually, I guess they're more functional.
Huh. So, comparing the shibari and photography, is that like comparing oranges and apples, or?
It's just that's a very interesting way to put it. Yes, it is.
That's easy for me to say, huh?
rope for me is more of a not just rope, but bondage in general is very much a sensation for me. Whereas taking photos is more of an intellectual study that happens to be a little bit emotional as well.
Wow, interesting. This is all about passion, is it not? I mean, one could easily be a dilettante in any art form, but mastery, as you said a little while ago, is all about passion.
Oh, yeah. If you're not passionate about something, you won't dedicate yourself to learning every little aspect.
Right.
Spending all your free time trying to learn something, you'll sit there and, you know, spend a few hours a day on it, and then go on to something else that's more interesting to you.
Right.
So absolutely.
So and mastery, I suspect in both the art forms of rope bondage and photography, is about holding the big picture in mind. Am I correct in that?
I think it's very much about where you want to go with your goal, and if you don't, best way to put it.
And for you, the big picture is not only involves the beauty of the rope and the feel of the rope in the bondage, but you must also capture that expression with your camera and make it alive and believable.
Absolutely, it's. I think one of the things that always bugged me when I was kinky for a while, and then I stopped to be vanilla, and I just dove into porn, and I masturbated to it. It was all bondage in various forms of kink, whatever I could find at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I think the thing that bugged me most was the stuff that was very unrealistic.
Oh. True.
And once you've been involved in kinky play, and then you look at a lot of the bondage porn that's out there, they're very different things.
Right.
So
porn is notorious for, you know, being a misrepresentation of what it's trying to represent, if you ask me.
Exactly. And so that's what one of the things back in the day before I even picked up a camera is that I'd look at these pictures, go, oh, no, I could do this better.
Right.
And that's what happened. I eventually picked up a camera and started doing it. Granted, I probably over-engineer some of my photos, but the whole idea is to capture the feel of the moment when I'm doing it.
Right. I want to just touch on something that you said twice now, that you were kinky and then you were not kinky and now you're kinky again. Is something that you can turn off?
No.
See, now that's true, is it not? I mean, it's going to be sublimated, like you just said, when you weren't kinky, you were actually kinky vicariously.
It was something I repressed, and it was, you know, I can't say I regretted my relationship with my ex, but it was something I learned to resent after a while, is the fact that I gave up my kink.
Right.
And it was a very negative cloud hanging over my head.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to, when I got out of it, I just dove right back into it. It's part of my life. It's part of me.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna deny who I am.
Right. You know, I've heard that so much from so many other people who, and not just about kink and other perversions and whatnot. I mean, it's all about, you know, being honest with oneself. And so often we kind of twist ourselves into pretzels trying to be accommodating to the people around us. And we do ourselves and actually them a disservice in the process.
Oh, exactly. It was, my ex and I love her to this day still, is we have totally different views of what's fun in the bedroom.
Yes.
And after years of being together, or what we did in the bedroom, well, eventually faded away and stopped.
Right.
And that was just...
Because it wasn't being fed by the wellspring of your authentic self, I would
guess. Yeah, exactly. We were both trying to give things to the other that we couldn't relate to.
Yeah.
And it's really, really tough to keep fueling that. And now it's, with my existing partner now, we have just about limitless forms of passion 3 years into our relationship.
Right. Yeah.
And it's almost like having NRE for years.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a big difference. It really does. I think that's one of my biggest things is hopefully... trying to get people more active in the kink community just because of that.
Right. So, back to your photography, what comes first in your mind, the bondage scene or the photographic concept?
That actually varies. It really, really does vary.
Ah.
There are times when I've photographed scenes. There are times people want me to photograph them, and so we get together, and it's for me, it's a photo shoot of capturing them doing something they love, and every now and then I'll get this wacky idea up my butt, and I'll say, "Hey, let's go do this." And more often than not, it's my girlfriend's involved, and so then we, because she's always available. And
I hope she's not listening to this. She's gonna cut off, honey.
We actually joke about that. So you can always tell it's her, because it's usually the more technical shoots are involving her or one of my other closer friends, and so it really does vary. Sometimes I'm just trying to capture a scene I'm having.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'll be playing with somebody and we'll agree on using a camera.
All right, interesting. And when so you have to set up the camera beforehand and the lights and all that kind of stuff. Otherwise, you know, the person in the bondage experience has got to sit there or hang there or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
they do.
Exactly.
Like, oh, wait a second, I have to set up the camera now and the lights.
You know what? Sometimes that's a very appropriate thing. They're tied up, stewed, you know, being ignored, and you know, they can't do anything about it. It's like, oh, well, hold on, I'm going to be setting this up. Oh, is that stressful?
You're so mean. I know so many people here in Seattle just like you.
Oh, yeah, they're all great people.
Oh, dear. So you write about yourself. Photography is a passion and a hobby of mine. While I've learned a lot in the last 2 years, I still have a lot more to learn and a lot more to try and a lot more failures to experience. That's what makes it fun for me. So are you saying that failure is part of the creative process?
Yes. Yes.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
If you can't try and if you aren't doing something that you occasionally get wrong, you're not trying hard enough.
It's true. So all those people in my audience who complain to me that, you know, you're not being as fabulous as some of my guests, maybe you're not trying hard enough.
Well, yeah, if you...
maybe you really just suck as, you know, who knows? But anyhow, I think so too. I think failure is a really big component, because just as you were saying at the beginning of our conversation, you know, you have to stop and figure out, well, why did that not work, right?
Oh yeah, and I guarantee everybody you've done on your Erotic Mind series has gone through that.
It's so true.
David Lawrence didn't just go into wedding photography and then become this great erotic mastermind. He worked his way up, and he worked hard too.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of
Marlon Burrow.
Marlon Burrow. Oh yeah. you don't get the styles of photos like that without learning how to connect with people and learning the technique behind it. And I guarantee he went through a lot of it.
Right.
And so, look
and
at
getting
angle
them out of their clothes. I mean, that in itself is a skill set, it seems to me, right? Hey, little boy, do you want to take your clothes off?
You know, I found it's a lot easier to do than you think it is.
Oh. You know, I was telling Marlon this in our conversation, is that, you know, when I was shooting porn with my video production company, Daddy O Productions, I would walk up to any Tom, Dick, or Harry that I saw just about any place and, you know, hand them my card and said, you know, I think you ought to be in the movies. And they would just smile, and then they'd look down at the card and see adult entertainment, and they go, ah. But, you know, some people really loved it. I mean, what a stroke, you know, to be able to say, you know, I'd like to take pictures of you buck naked.
Well, it's I've never actually walked up to somebody and just said it so bluntly to them, but everybody I shoot with, I usually know before I shoot them, unless they ask me ahead of time to shoot them, and then it's usually just as a service.
Right.
But everybody I've approached for shooting, I already know ahead of time, and so if I want to shoot with somebody, I get a chance to know them.
Yeah.
And then they find out that, you know, oh, well, he's really passionate in the photos, and it's really not hard convincing somebody to do something if they want to be in front of the camera.
Right.
And they like you, and you're friendly with you, and so, yeah, it's... Oh, would you mind getting naked? Okay. You know, but not all the pictures get shown to everybody. Sometimes they're in private, but it's surprisingly easy.
Well, I think you should start going up to people just completely cold and say, would you take your clothes off so I can tie you up and take your picture? And see what you get.
I should try that.
Yeah, you oughta.
I've been trying. The thing is, with everybody I know, I hang out with a very large hetero community, and so I don't have access to a lot of men. So I guess I'm going to have to do that to get access to the men to photograph.
Absolutely, you know, and you know, us men folk, especially the queer variety. I mean, we really go for that kind of stuff. So knock yourself out. So on this very topic, mind you, I wanted to ask you about shooting different models. Women and men are obviously quite different anatomically speaking, but I suspect that the differences don't stop with anatomy. Is that your sense as well?
I'm finding gender is a very fluid thing.
Right.
And it's
especially here.
Oh yeah, especially in Seattle, and such an active sex-positive community, you run across all types.
Yeah,
and so I guess the one thing I found is, at least emotionally, mentally speaking, is that everybody I've shot with is an individual, and you got to get to know them.
Right.
And but I don't know if that's answering your question.
I'm trying to get to the cultural implications of this.
Oh yeah.
So an image of a bound man has different cultural implications than similar depictions of a bound woman. Would you not agree?
I have a picture with somebody who's transitioning,
uh-huh.
and they're currently pre-op, and so she has a penis, And I posted this one of the images on a photography site.
Right.
And it's a site. It's actually a very, very good website. They do accept nudes and erotic photos.
Uh-huh.
And I posted a picture of her bound in a bondage chair, spread wide,
uh-huh.
and you know, penis hanging there, and obviously struggling. And I put it up on this site, and within half an hour, it was moderated.
Uh-huh. Taken down, you mean?
Yeah, the community spoke up and disliked it so much that the owners of the website came and deleted it.
Wow, that's fascinating. And it was because, I mean, have you put up other nude photography and bound photography?
Oh yeah, it was. I have pictures on there with of women bound in similar circumstances where it's not a warm, sexy, erotic photo. It's a little more cold and detached, and something a little more of a scene.
Wow.
And
did that surprise you?
Oh yeah, actually, not only I knew that people weren't going to like it, but I didn't realize it would get deleted off the site within a half an hour.
Right. And you knew they weren't going to like it because of the content, or because of the style, or because of your presentation, or because you suck as a photographer, or what?
Well, the thing is sometimes you never know those things. you never
true,
really get good feedback.
Not? Yeah.
But one of the things I learned is you upload pictures of good-looking naked women, and you'll get 10 times as many views if not more than of naked men.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I assume it's because most of the sites I'm using are a little more heterosexual focused.
I guess.
And that's my theory, but the thing is you don't get a lot of feedback. And so all you get is the views to judge by, and so, yeah, it's very... You upload a picture of a woman on a lot of sites, and that picture will be popular. Upload a picture of a man in the same exact predicament, and he could be very sexy, very hot, and no, people aren't going to view it.
Mm. Interesting. I suspect that the obverse is true. If you post on, you know, like a gay site as opposed to a straight site, you know, where the men stuff would be much more popular. Well, you know, at least you know who's touching themselves impurely while they're looking at your images, right? Because there's always that.
I need to find more gay sites to post on then.
Well, I guess so. I think we're going to have to work on that, don't you know? So, there's also the whole issue of submission, which has different connotations for the two sexes. Is that your experience as well?
I haven't worked a lot with submission outside of women, but yeah, it's a lot of the BDSM culture seems to be a little more slanted towards female submission.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've been observing over the last few years is it seems to be shifting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it still seems to be that a majority of people expect women to submit. But I don't know.
It's funny because I think I'm about as open-minded a guy as you can find, but I still have, you know, really strong reservations about seeing women in submissive poses. Where I think it's wonderful to see men in submissive poses, maybe because it's a cultural thing for me. You know, I mean, women in our culture tend to be, you know, expected to be submissive. They don't get really an option.
Well, I had a great discussion recently with a gentleman named Max in our community.
Oh, absolutely, one of my previous guests.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. And so Max and I had this conversation about how did it go? So basically, there's long lines of we were discussing powerful people submitting.
Yes.
And one of the things that you'll notice with a lot of experienced dominance in the community is that they really get a big rush when somebody who's strong-willed submits to them.
Yes.
And the reason why is because here's this person that can stand up for themselves, can do just about anything they want, and here they are, they're giving their power over to you.
Yeah.
And it, regardless of whatever gender that is, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
But and especially in imagery, one of the things you'll see is that you know, most of the people submitting will oftentimes look a little more dainty.
Yeah.
And are smaller, and especially if there's multiple people in the picture.
Yeah.
And one of the things I think the images that have affected me most is seeing somebody who's really physically powerful looking, and they're in a submissive position to somebody that's maybe equal to or smaller size
than
them.
That's so true. Absolutely. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, listen, I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is up for today. I could obviously go on and on, because you're such a charming guy and a great guest, and I would like to go on and on. Any chance you could come by again next week?
I don't know. Yeah, okay.
Don't make me beg, please. This is my show.
Oh, that would sound really neat.
All right, well, we'll see you again next week at this time. But before you go, would you give us your website address and walk us around a little bit? What can we find there? And can we buy your work there?
It's sinisterbrain.com, SINISTERBRAIN, just exactly as it sounds. And right now, it's currently just a generic portfolio site with a few images that I've created. You can click around and enjoy them, or contact me. That's about it. I'm working on putting up a new blog-based website that I can talk about more thoughts about eroticism. Right now, you cannot buy my work. I actually haven't had too many offers of people to buy it, so I haven't thought of it.
Well, this will spur you forward, don't you know?
Well, we'll see.
Alrighty, kiddo. Well, thank you so much for your time today, and we look forward to seeing you next week. And in the meantime, we will be visiting you in cyberspace. Bye for now.
Bye.
Fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for part two of my conversation with Michael Henry and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. And remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty goddarn sweet, huh? One more thing before we conclude. I want to make sure that you know about my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now it's so easy to see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. I and the Dr. Dick review crew review all kinds of adult goodies. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, herbal products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Look for DrDickSexToyReviews.com. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.